So, how are you?
Hi, Joaquin.
Thank
Human.
you for joining us. I'd like to ask you about the magic meeting we are organizing. What does the word magic inspire in your head?
Thank you for the thought. I think there's a couple of things that come up with that. First of all, the whole concept of magic meeting is magical because basically, everybody knows what it is about, and nobody knows what it is about. Magic specifically is about things you cannot define and things that you would not expect. But yet, you know that somehow you are able to create it or able to experience it. So there's a general understanding of the meaning of the word magic and magical. Many films, many books are about that. That there is a surprising element, that there is a opening up element of it, the discovery of the unknown, like stepping into a new reality. Evidently, there's also another part of that, in the same way that people can have trance experiences and see how everything in the universe connects. Some people can also have shifting experiences in which they first have to clean up their own inner mess. And when people think that they are looking at the larger things while instead they're looking at their old undigested problems, you end up with what people would commonly call black magic. That they feel that there is more, they act on what is more, they turn it on, but actually it's not for the betterment of everything and everybody. So then, from the general feeling of the word magic, I would like to then to shift to say what is a dictionary kind of meaning of the word magic, with the connotations of black magic and white magic, and the connotation of the magician. For me, the magician is very much connected to, for example, the tarot cards. In my vision, the tarot cards is like a map of shifting through different ways of consciousness. And if you've put them in a loop, you can see that you actually need to use the Hanged Man, Fortune, and some other cards double, that they have a role on the way up and on the way back. And then all of these tarot cards complement each other, complete each other. And one of the completions in that approach is the duality of the fool and the magician. And in the understanding of the tarot card, you see the fool followed by the dog of the unconscious, happily walking into an abyss. And everybody sort of can see that the fool will fall down soon, because that's what everybody has been told that things really are. But in that cycle of the tarot, you can then see that there are a lot of learning things from the fool being an idiot, idiot from not being able to see further than their own instincts or insights or experiences, to somebody who grows beyond that and learns to look at others, learns to look at the world, learns to look at creation, and then at another turning point comes back and is able to apply it. And then the counterpart is that of the magician. And then in the tarot you can also see that the fool has this coat of many colors, basically just little fragments of experiences stuck together as a quilted blanket, a patchwork blanket. And in the magician you can see that that whole coat of the fool has been taken apart. All of the threads have been taken apart, and all of them have been mixed up, as a result of which all the colors together create white. And then the magician has this integrated coat of white, which means that it's no longer based on specific memories, expectations, projections, and all that. But on having understood how everything connects, and that there is always more to whatever you see. So in that approach, the magician is then somebody who internally grows up from baby to child to adolescent to adult, but not in the outer world, but in an inner world. And just as we, as individuals, grow from an individual to establishing relationships, to being part of group and creating groups, to being part of humanity. Likewise, in the world of magic, of the world of integrated being, you first relate to yourself, then to the environment, then to how the environment transforms. So you can foresee, feel changes that are coming, which is then called God's fools. Those are the people who do stuff which seems totally illogical, but then in the environment something changes and it turns out that they were doing what was needed for the new environment that is still was still going to happen. And at the fourth level there's then the integrated magician, but the integrated magician is somebody who, like a healer or a storyteller or just anybody that you can meet invisible, fully integrated, they are still indistinguishable for other people, and they might look like a fool again. So when you see the fool, it could be a magician, and when you see a magician, it could actually be a fool. So there is that duality in that. And then, of course, there is a lot of people who play to be a magician, but actually still have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
And the learning, most of the learning is about the realization that the coat of the fool with all the fragmented, undigested memories need to be digested and need to be integrated. So there's a lot of inner work that needs to be done to go from a self-centered fool to somebody who can relate things to each other, but also can relate to other people, also relate to people who are in themselves fragmented and still not working well, to being able to transform these undigested experiences within the self and also help others to do that within themselves, and then becoming a healer. So being a true magician is somebody who, in a way, is a pope, that's also a hierophant, somebody who understands the universe and can act on behalf of the universe wherever they are with whomever they are with. So then the magician is a healer, but also a silent leader and also an integrated being, because body, mind, soul and spirit are all interconnected. When people tap into these greater powers, when they realize that their body is actually connected to mind and that mind guides the body, that's not the body that has the power, but the mind that directs the power of the body, then they become, say, more powerful people than the people around them, because it's not just with their body that they can beat others up, but with their mind they can beat others up too. And then they still need to learn that in their soul, they're just like everybody else. They're part of a universe that is unfolding, and that their soul is the antenna into everything that is. And that in their soul, they can see that they're just the other part of everybody else. So beating somebody else up doesn't work. Telling other people what to do doesn't work. Because in the end, you discover that whatever you do to others, you do to yourself, because there's always this mirroring involved. That's all this, also the story of Narcissus, looking in the puddle, looking at the self-reflection, and basically believing that is him, but having a mirror inverted image of everything. So whatever Narcissus does, doesn't compute in the rest of reality. And so in the transition from mind to soul, there is the transition from self-centered to universe-centered, because the soul then can connect to spirit. And in spirit, everything is connected, because that's how the universe works. That's what the universe is. It's a field of consciousness, a field of creation, a field of love, a field of learning. And then the magician get to know that. So one, with that perspective in view, the magician, which I looked at before, becomes different depending on where that development has taken the magician. If the development is incomplete, then you have somebody with more power, more understanding, more capabilities, but self-centered, self-oriented, limited, looking at the puddle instead of the universe, looking at the part of the puzzle instead of the puzzle at the whole, looking at a fraction of what is instead of everything, and thinking that whatever they see is everything that is, that they have the same kind of mental setting or mindset as the people who stepped into their own little hell of an undigested experience, identify with that, act from that frequency set, detecting that same kind of problems, difficulties in others as well. And yes, they can be more powerful, but by their limitations, they are also more crippled and more crippling. So that's why you don't see that these people live in a kind of addiction to their own limitation. They live in their own little hell, and that's what people would then call a black magician. They do not see how everything connects. They're still shitting their diapers and polluting the planet and stuff like that. Because they're working from mind, but not yet from soul. They think that their mind is different from somebody else's mind. But once they connect to soul, they realize that mind is simply the instrument by which soul can connect to the body and help the soul to see that there is much more than what is in the now here in space and time. That there is something else in the universe, everywhere else, which is connected to energy, but more predominantly at consciousness. So through the soul, there is this understanding that we are all part of an ongoing transformation, which is an energy transformation. But that transformation is a consequence of something that arises in consciousness. And for our meeting, I've started to have some dreams, in which I start to write down about magic. And I found them really nicely surprising, because there were things that I already knew and in a way experienced, but now, for the purpose of this meeting, coming together and helping to understand things which I experienced, and also showing how magic is actually a universal reality. So this is where I then would like to switch from the magician and the black versus the white magician, the damaged or the damaging healer versus the healed healer who helps heal the universe and others and everything else, the white magician. To what's magic then? And magic in that sense is so beautifully described or understood by the model of tetrionics. Tetrionics is a lovely insight into cosmic creation. The Newton looked at materials and described things as determined and deterministic, and other people around them enforced that idea that there is something called a reality. And then it was discovered that actually the materials are made of molecules, and they're not fixed by bound electrons, but they're fluid and flexible because they have an internal electron flow. So they're much more dynamic, much more variable, and then it all becomes relativistic. Absolutes disappear. It's always relative to something. And then you need to know with respect to what. So that's where Einstein then came up with this event horizon. Because basically he could see the end of a light beam, but he couldn't look beyond the turning point of that light beam, the zero point of the electromagnetic wave. So that's where then Max Planck took over and described the story, what happens in that electromagnetic wave when you go into the zero point and you go from the one side to the other side of the zero point, which was then called a quantum leap, which is basically the kind of push that you need to move an electron from one orbit to another. So that's essentially where you then, from the electromagnetic field, or rather I say now electron magnetic field, You see that the electromagnetic field moves the electrons in the atoms and thus changes the molecules, changes the materials. So that essentially is then the foundation of magic, because magic, as you would have it in the movies, the films and the books and so on, is where somebody has an idea and then bloop, it is there. It has been created. And when you look at the principle practice of magic, that's exactly what we do. You have an idea and then bloop, it is created. Of course, it might take a couple of years or even centuries for people to learn the body in that way and to learn to use the mind in that way and to use materials and tools in that way to create a language which helps to do that. But then something happens, they can work together, they can work with the earth, and suddenly they have learned to build cities, build bridges, irrigate deserts, and so on. So magic, which comes from the Sanskrit word magd, which means creative potential, is about us being creators in creation. And then magic is totally unspecial. It's just a lot of learning to be dealt with, because you need to understand how the body works, like everybody learns to do. And then you need to understand how the mind works, which children supposedly are needing to learn, but then schools don't quite give them that. Then they need to discover how the soul works, and normally in nature, purity would help them do that. But jobs and banking systems actually don't help people to do that. And then as adults, they would normally learn to work at the spirit level, to realize that they, souls in humanity, are part of humanity as a whole, and that through their soul they connect to the soul of others so that they can intune their mind, so that they can work together and together create that magic of planting paradise, being a creator in creation, and so on. So that's this whole insight, that magic is actually what our body does for us. In our body, we work with consciousness, and you can actually see that in the body, that that the cells are able to transform molecules, and they do that so that they can form and position the molecules which actually create our body. So if you're talking about magic, turning a thought into something of material, that's exactly what the body is doing. The cells know which molecules to produce, they know where to put those molecules, they know which molecules characteristics to use. So they're piezoelectric, liquid crystal, transformer, intelligent gel. So when the thinking, the information process, the quantum field in the body changes, the materials in the body can change accordingly, and then by magic, as if by magic, the body can turn thought into action. And by our action, we can then work with materials, and as a result of working with the materials, we can create or destroy things. In a more general sense, that's what I call the I-God principle. God simply is an acronym for generate, operate, destroy. So you create something, you destroy something, and at the most basic level, what we create and destroy is how we interact with the environment, how we decide to connect or to separate. And connect and separate is actually the definition of a boundary. So the I-God principle is that you can generate, operate, and destroy a boundary, a separation. You can change your involvement. And I needed to use the word I-God, because generate, operate, destroy, if left by itself, it's just like a zipper, zipping and unzipping whatever goes on in the environment, creating and destroying boundaries, creating and destroying connections, getting involved, getting uninvolved. But that's meaningful only if it is not at the generate, operate, destroy, say, energy level, but it also has a consciousness component, which means that it needs to be integrated with everything else what is happening. And say the black magician doesn't understand that and just does something and doesn't see the consequences, doesn't foresee the consequences, doesn't learn from the body memory, doesn't learn from the ancestral memory, doesn't learn from the deepest DNA memories, and just does something, and it then doesn't fit into what the universe is doing, so it backfires. And actually, that's a lesson for the black magician to learn to become a white magician. It's like shitting your own diapers. At some point, you need to learn to control your sphincter and bring the shit to the plant that can actually work with it. So in that approach of the GOD principle, we all have this capacity to generate, operate, and destroy. But then we are learning how to integrate it. And that means that we're actually working in space and time with energy to make an understanding, to increase an understanding of consciousness. And that's where the I of the I God principle then comes from. It needs to be integrated. Because if you generate, operate, destroy, then you can integrate it or you can disintegrate it. You can heal or you can afflict things. And to heal things, you need to be able to look at the other side of the boundary. You need to realize that what is true for the one is false for the other. And when they talk together, they need to see that both sides are true, both sides are false, because there's something more going on which both of them didn't look at yet. That's why they rejected the other. They don't realize that at the other side of the boundary, at the other side of the mountain, at the other side of the equation sign, at the other side of that distinction, the universe just goes on. But just as with the equation sign, what is plus on the minus side is minus on the other. As long as there is a plus and a minus, or a positive and negative, or a black and a white and a black magician, the picture is incomplete. And then, of course, Popper teaches us that if you have black and white, and you turn it around quickly enough, and you have these spinning disc with black and white, and then you can start to see all colors. So that's where we can then learn to connect that principle of GOD, the changing of the boundary, the changing of the involvement, the application of intent, or the withholding of intent, is then how we weave into the ongoing process of cosmic and universal creation. And we can do that because the cells in our body, yes, they use atomic nuclear energy because they can't form and transform molecules, and they can create the body, they can create the cells for cell communication, they can create the molecules for the cells internally, but they do that because the molecules are like magic wands. They're like carrier antennae, they're carriers of information. And so then you can see in the body that the body anatomy, which is in space, is built by the cell communication, which is the physiology, which is a process in time, which can take place only because the cells together are in this large pattern. Everything in the body is regulated. Everything in the body is integrated. So that is at the level of energy and transformation. But the cells can do that because what they do is connected to what the universe is doing. Because if you look at your first cell, outside of the membrane is the universe, inside of the membrane is you. So you're the universe in inverse, and that means that the cell is working directly with universal cosmic information. And that is also what I described in one of those texts, that the cell is the foundation of magic, because the cell is material, but the cell has cosmic information. And the cell can act on that cosmic information, and basically that's what we are learning. And then the cell can use, as Tetrionic so nicely described, linear quantum flux and circular quantum flux. Linear quantum flux, like a laser beam, can slice and splice molecular parts. And with rotational quantum flux, like a centrifuge, like a vortex, it can reposition those molecular fragments. And that is how, as Tetrionics explains, the cells then can form and transform molecules. But that's the mechanism which is right at the core of magic, that you use information, which is the quantum field, to materialize thing, which is the physical body and the physical reality. And then when you look at that at a more fundamental level, then the cell, which is in the quantum field, which uses the quantum field, which is based on quantum information, which is holographic, the cell can then connect the knowledge which it has through radio frequencies and holographic radio waves with all of the other cells in the body, and all of them together, same as the humans can do in humanity, if they turn on their telepathy, and then all these cells together can form the whole body, and they can inform the whole body, and all of these cells together create that magic of maintaining the body, building the body, repairing the body, and doing things with the body. So it's really fantastic that in this approach, the cell and the cells in the body and the body as a whole show us what magic is. That magic is actually that direct connection to the universal quantum field. And that precisely as Tetrionis describes it, the quantum field then can curdle and form tetrions, which are the basis of the atomics with protons, neutrons, and electrons. At the atomic level, everything is zipped together or zipped apart by electron jumps. Atoms can connect or disconnect by the simplicity of an atom jump. Then once they are connected, these are then called molecules. And in the molecules, the change of the electron flow and the change of the electron frequency can then change the molecular dynamic. It can become more rigid or more flexible, and the whole body is based on that. So the magic actually then slows down or condenses as these molecules, which are able to take that melody of the intent, of the thought, of the, say, the magic intent, and turn that into a soup, a dance of molecular motions, and then the molecules can connect up and can start to share and maintain and hold a specific kind of electron current, which is then called materials. And so materials require a repeating current in the molecules, which is, say, the counterpart of an idée fixe, and also a reflex operates like that, same as a computer program in a computer. If that program's run, it will keep on doing that. And then we can see that our body is actually a translator between cosmic consciousness, something that happens at the soul level, which is at the atomic, where the electrons in the atoms are moved, yes or no, which then goes from the electromagnetic, which is also the regulatory system in us, up to the physiological, which is the chemistry of our body, where things adapt to our environment. And then out of that comes the materialization of the body and, say, the rigidity of things. So when we look at the universe in that same way, then the reality that we see would be like the counterpart of the anatomy. But we can change that. We can interact with that. We can react to that. So the Newtonian reality is something that people experience as deterministic. It is like that, and you have to comply. A bit of a slavery model. And the next level, say the relativistic models, that you realize that, yes, it is there, but it is changing. So you have to adapt to those changes. You have to react to those changes. And then at the third level, you realize that it is not just changing and you can react to the changes, but you can also interact with the changes. You're just not pushed over by the waves, but you can actually surf ride the waves. And then you learn that all of these transformations in the universe are interconnected and that they're actually happening within us as well. And that is where the transformation from being passive onlooker, the deterministic outsider, having become the playful participant reactor, then becomes a responsible interactor and learns to work with these changes in the environment, because they also take place in our body. And then from that comes the deepest level of the realization that, as Tetragrammaton describes it, everything physical is created and formed by the quantum field. So that what we are doing in us, the magic which we have within us, is the same as the magic that these cells use, that the cells use this quantum field to slice and splice and reposition molecular fragments. And we use quantum consciousness within us to slice and splice and dice experiences in our environment. So we are actually learning to use consciousness. And then the art of magic is learning to operate consciousness in such a way that it fits into everything. Not just your own thought, but also that it works for other people too, that you can do that as a healer. That at a larger level, you can help a lot of people to do that for themselves likewise. So you become a leader because they learn to do it themselves, because you have led them in that exploration, because you've done it for yourself. And then finally, you come to that level that you can share intent with others, that others can see that vision too, and that they can live from and by their vision. And then one of the other texts that I'm writing is essentially what the Australians and all the other cultures know, that we need to learn to shift our consciousness, which we experience in the sleep cycle. So in the day we are conscious and see the environment, and we start to dream, which is at the body level, and then we go to the sleep, which is at the organ level, and then we go to deep sleep, which is at the cellular level. So we go from the environment with beta brainwaves to the body with alpha brainwaves to the organ and the healing process, the gods of the Olympus, the theta brainwaves, down to the cellular delta brainwaves, which is where we connect to the universe in inverse, and where in us we're connected to the universe and everything that is. And that is where we then, as individuals, are universal. We are gods, we are creators. And that's also what I think that everybody got scared about, because whatever you do affects and afflicts the universe as a whole. But that, of course, is the lesson for learning how to work as a creator in creation. And that's the principle of learning to work with freedom of choice. And that from then on, it is possible to be conscious about what you subconsciously do, so all of the decisions that you take and the effect that it will have on others, the sequence of consequences that will come out of it, the responsibility that you need for that, and the respect that you need for the appreciation that others do that and learn that too. And then you also need to be conscious of the unconscious, which is where we then discover that the organs are already doing this, that the gods of the Olympus were intentionally described in that way, and that the chakra system is how we relate to the environment, how we redefine our boundaries, how we redefine ourselves. But in redefining ourselves, that is how we create these ripples in the environment. That is why the universe and other people are responding to us. That is what then will affect or afflict the universe. And then, of course, the question, it's like puberty of consciousness. Can you then see that there is this larger level where every thought that you have can actually blend in with what the universe is doing? Can you actually have things so that more coherence can arise in what the universe is doing, what other people are doing? And then at the deepest level, you come to being conscious of the out-of-conscious, the delta brainwave. So you're conscious about what you do at the delta brainwave level, and that you are in this deep trance, as Samadhi Satori, in the dream sculptor, that you see how the quantum field sculpts the universe, just as Tetragrammaton describes, but that you are not longer an onlooker, but by wu wei, by doing, by not doing, with your quantum consciousness. You are not just able to steer the cyclone as the shamans learned to do, but you're dancing with the universe, as the Nordics and so many other cultures describe. So that's where the magic then lies, in realizing that what you're doing within yourself afflicts and affects everything. And then by the principles described by Tetrionics, you can see how that unfolds into everything. And that in that way, in what we are doing, if we can connect up to our own universal being, then we don't have to do anything, or we don't have to define anything, because the universe is already there. We are already a universe in ourselves. And we can then also discover that together we can see more of ourselves and each other. And that, I think, is the magic of a magic meeting, that people don't have to know what's going on because they are magical themselves already. And by being together, something else can come up, which is unconscious, which is a much larger level, which is much faster, because it's the electromagnetic radio waves, it's in a light field. By simply being together and allow for that and experiencing that and helping each other with that, sharing the techniques that we have to be the healer in ourselves and be the magician of our reality, the creator of our own life, then even if nobody says something, but everybody knows that that is what is going on, things will already fall in place at a very deep level. And I think that's very magical about the magical. So I'll leave it at that for now. You might have some other thoughts and questions.
Yeah, basically, at the end, I realized how I had my own, say, idea or perspective at the main meeting, which was by itself quite good for me. I think many things can happen there, but I didn't have this perspective of reflecting one to each other. And of course, that sounds also very, very good. I'm pretty sure there are many interesting people there with many interesting things to share. And if apart from that, we can reflect each other, that can be even more magical. So this is my only reflection about what you said. There are parts of what you said that I feel like I need to listen again from the recording to understand completely, because my feeling is that there was plenty of information and it was very dense. But this is my reflection for the moment. Thank you.
Yeah. I think there's also something at a deeper level. If people know what they wish to create in their life and what they want to leave behind by their life, by their living, and they connect to that in meeting up, then that automatically will create a focus and intent addressing and accessing the deepest part in each of us. And that's already at the soul level. And for most people, the soul level is the unconscious. But then when the unconscious knows what you're looking for, what you want to do with your life, what you want to create as a creator in creation, then the mind can carry that over, and then people will discover that they start to talk about things they otherwise wouldn't say, or they suddenly have an idea coming up within them because somebody else, through their telepathy, actually complements and completes something that they already knew and understood. And then in the physical, we'll just feel that things fall in place, and we can have techniques or singing or nature, or nobody will know what happens, because it will happen at that specific moment. Because when the soul speaks, the mind will follow, and then the body will follow as a consequence of that. And those are really fantastic kind of experiences, because there's no plan, no intent, and everything falls in place. And everybody can come in with whatever they were thinking about, but everybody connects out, steps away from that, connected to themselves, connected to each other, connected to the environment, connected to the universe. Magic.
Yeah, I've had that experience with, say, two or three people. So imagining that we can be between 10 and 20 and so powerful people, I do not want to put any expectation there, but I have the intuition that can be really creative and powerful. And I also have this idea that when you put your intent, somehow this resonates with the other people over there, and things just arise. So this is my hope for the meeting. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I want to really do not put any expectation there, just be there and let it happen, whatever it is.
Yeah. This is mm-hmm. I think it's part of the magic of the meeting is that as a result of the meeting coming closer, I sort of feel more of it already. Others probably do that too. And as these dreams came up, and as I then formulated and had them go through my mind, I realized that a long, long time ago, when I first realized the nature of magic, that you can think something, and you can talk with your mind, you can talk with your body, and it will do it. And I realized that that's an immense power, and at that time I decided I will not do this until I see what the sequence of consequences are, because I don't want to destroy anything, I don't want to pollute anything. Mm-hmm. And with what came up now, I realized that I can now undo that decision that I took. In what I have written down as a consequence of this meeting coming up, I realized that I am now ready to walk into the magic, because I know that it is not just about having an intent, but that the intent must fit at the subconscious, the unconscious, and the out-of-conscious level. And it is about actually, it is an internal shift in consciousness. What happens outside is just a consequence. It is not by doing things in the outer world, but by having a realization within, which are not individual or idiotic and not based on relationships or circumstances, not even based on what happens in a lifetime for Earth, on Earth, but it needs to actually be tuned into the universe as a whole. So I'm aware that that's what I have just stepped into. So for me, the magic has already started, and it's really fantastic with what you've done, Joaquin, in setting it up, bringing this together, and making this possible, because that is, in mathematics, they call it the strange attractor, the invisible vortex, the magnet which puts everything together, so that this integrated and larger field can form, as if there is the sound of the symphony orchestra, so that every musician knows where to have their place, so that the symphony can be heard in its fullest. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for your idea and your support, because in fact, this everything started with your idea. And at some moment, I felt like I made it mine too. I really resonated with the idea. And I realized I had already met so many interesting people in my life that somehow could create together this environment we are creating. And at some moment, I realized it was flowing by itself. At some moments, my mind tried to control the situation, especially when I felt like a lack of responses of the people I made. But some other part in me told me, just let it go. It will happen by itself. At certain moments, I felt like a certain email was necessary. But most of the energy in this is just the happening by itself.
I think that's the magic. The realization turns out to be much larger than you can foresee. Yeah. And that's also what makes it magical in where I started with these thoughts of this fascination, this wonderment, that learning, that waking up of consciousness that just buds and blooms.
Yeah. And as you said, it departs from an idea and then becomes a reality. But at the same time, I feel like this is recursive in the sense that this set of people together can also produce new realities from all the ideas that can be put together.
Precisely, yes. Empowering each other in the realities that they are already creating.
Yeah. And I also realize this can be reproduced in different places in the world. And we all together as humanity can really create a new world. So I am really happy about this. I understand this can sound like, I don't know how to translate into English my thought, but like too much, you know, like thinking that we are more powerful than we are. But in fact, my feeling is that we really are so powerful. And yeah, I think we are living in a time where this is especially necessary. So I think everything is falling in place, as you say. And yeah, it had to happen. It will happen. I don't know exactly in which form. And I am really happy and, you know, like really open to have a beautiful experience with all those people gathering together here. I'm counting the days.
Many of the traditional books, cultures say that what people are afraid of most is what they truly are. Okay. And with what I just described, that's also the dream that I had. People are really gods. They are creators in creation. They use the I-God principle. They can create and destroy how they relate to things. They can create and destroy, turn over a quantum. That is the essence of freedom of choice. And in flipping over one quantum, you repolarize the universe as a whole. So we really have an immense power within us, but everybody has been led to look away from it and look at reality and income and all kind of stuff, instead of discovering within that the universe is right there within us. And by connecting to that, deepening into those levels of consciousness where that is, then it can unfold and then it can act out, and then we are simply the riders on the cyclone of creation, dancing with everything that is, and making this a beautiful place and a beautiful universe.
Yeah.
That requires a lot of cleaning up, because otherwise it doesn't work. So most of the work is magic, is getting rid of the black and turning it into the white, which is basically turning the shit into manure so that things can grow. Colorful flowers can come out.
Yeah, sure. We are in that situation, clearly.
Yeah. So thank you for having made that invitation and set that up as an attractor, because it's really beautiful to see how all of these ideas are unfolding and falling in place.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to all the people that have somehow trusted in just an idea. Yeah. And let's see what happens. I am really looking forward for the moment.
Great. Let's magic.
Okay, so if it's okay for you, maybe we can stop the recording here.
Let's do that.